Well, greetings, friends, wherever you may be. We're glad to be here with you on this Sunday morning, and may the Lord just richly bless, lead, and guide, and direct us during this small amount of time that we have to be with you by way of the internet. And may the Lord just bless you. Now, there's just something that I want to talk with you about this morning, and more or less a beginning. But for months now, and for a long time, we've been looking at, searching together, talking about we've called it several things, our union with Christ, but primarily we've been looking at the reality of our being in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? How is it that we come to be in Christ? That, of course, is a work of the Spirit, but what specifically is it that brings us into this reality of our being in Christ? The scriptures certainly testify, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Most believers, precious Christians, have no understanding of that verse. In the first place, they have no understanding of being in Christ. The second place, they have no comprehension of a new creation. A new creation. And yet that's exactly what the scripture there says. Not another creation, not a made over old creation, not a better group. No. A new creation. Nothing has ever been like that before. Never been a creation like that before. No, not. You can go back to Genesis 1 and you read about the creation there. It is not the same as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when I say not the same, I mean it's not the same totally. It has nothing, the new creation has nothing to do, nothing to do with the old. Why? Because the old is not found in the new creation. The one who is found in the new creation is Christ Himself. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. So we've been talking about that, and I'm just taking it, I don't know whether it's one step farther or not, or maybe we're just broadening, because we're talking about our relation with Christ. Maybe we should talk about a broadened relation with Christ. What do you mean by that? I mean a relation that reaches everything. That reaches everything in our life. That comes to govern things. A relationship that comes to direct things, that comes to affect things in our life. What I want to talk to you about with regard to this relationship is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I've been looking at this specifically all week, and in the scripture, And I want us to look at it. I'm not going to sit here right now and tell you what I think the kingdom of God is not. I want us to just look at who, what the kingdom of God is. And look at it in direct reference to our union with Christ as much as we will be able to. But I want to tell you something, hon. It really puts preeminence, the preeminence of Christ on our salvation. We're not the preeminent ones in our salvation. No. He is. He is, because everything that our salvation is, love, joy, peace, redemption, sanctification, justification, everything that our salvation is, it is because Christ is the very essence of all of those things. Christ being the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding given of God, Christ being, well, yes, true forgiveness that is given of God, Christ himself being the actual grace of God. Oh my. These things we could sit here with all day, and yet we would have only touched the surface. But we want to gather all of this up and look at it in the kingdom of God and come to understand that in fact and in reality, the kingdom of God is in Christ Jesus. So let's just spend a little time looking at that. And I have some things that I want to read. And I'll tell you now that one or two of these things that I want to read of these publications belong to the writer was Brother Sparks, T. Austin Sparks, who has passed on some years ago. But he has some good things to say here with regard to the kingdom. And I'm just going to take some of these excerpts out so then I can come back to this reality in the scripture. And the scripture I've got here, of course, was not written by Brother Sparks, wasn't written by me either. It's the scripture. So we'll come back and look at it there. So just reading here in John 16, verse 14 and 15. In John 16, let me see if I've got my right, I've got the right glasses on here. I don't think that I do. Here we go. All right, John 16, 14 and 15. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine. This is what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. And this is in John 16, verses 14 and 15. In fact, that whole chapter of John 16. What is it? What is it? What is it that the Holy Spirit is given to do as his function in the kingdom of God? For you see, there's nothing that can be added to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God itself. You'll see why in a little while. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. And yet, there is this tremendous ministry. We could say tremendous work, but tremendous ministry. On behalf of the Holy Spirit with regard to the kingdom of God. It is very specific. This ministry of the Spirit is extremely specific. Unfortunately, Christians and some in Christianity have totally missed, I mean really missed, what is the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, what is the ministry of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. Jesus pretty well says it right here, because this is Christ declaring to his disciples, and obviously to you and I, but he is declaring to those with whom he was speaking before and right up to the time of him going to the cross, talking to them about how he was about to return. Come unto them, take them unto himself, live in them, all of that. That's what he was talking to, and he brought it right up here to this particular work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, of whom he had just spoken to them, that he shall be in you. He shall be in you. So he shall glorify me. Now this is in the kingdom of God. Oh, honey. See, I'm going to stay here on this line of scripture for the next hour, but I'm not really going to, except to tell you that there is only one who is glorified in the kingdom of God. Now you and I are brought into that kingdom in Christ, but only one is glorified there. In fact, we are brought there unto his glory. Well, what a tremendous thing. And Jesus talks about this to his disciples right before the cross, knowing that he is going to the cross, knowing that after that he is coming forth in the resurrection, ascending to his Father, presenting to his Father a complete and total finished work, absolutely, and complete presenting to his Father then, if he presented to him a complete work, a perfect work, my, then what he presents to the Father is the kingdom work. He presents that to his Father. And Christ doesn't cease to be the king. No. He doesn't cease to rule and reign either. No. He presents, however, a finished, a perfect, my goodness, work of God in his Son, through his Son, by his Son. And he presents that as himself to his Father. But of the Spirit of God, he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. A better translation actually says, for he shall take all that is me, that is me. He doesn't say here, he shall take all that I am. That's what he is actually saying, but he makes it so he personifies it in himself. Who is it that describes this kingdom of God? Who is it that is the light, the glory, on and on and on of this kingdom of God? It is this one. It is this one that the Holy Spirit reveals. It is this one that the Holy Spirit shows. He shall take of mine, well, that's right. But it's actually just a large use of the word me. Of the word me. He shall take of me. Because that would be an endless undertaking. Because there is no end of Christ, who is using the term here, he shall take of me. There's no end of that. And he goes on to say it. Shall declare it unto you, all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. See, he shall take of mine. But we can bring that right here too. All things whatsoever the Father hath are found in me. What a wonderful place it is to go. After this, even right to John 17 and just see the true relationship with the Father and the Son. See what the Son is saying there and what the Father is saying there. Yes, in John 17, the very relationship into which we are brought by new birth, by receiving Christ in spirit and in truth, coming into a relationship of the Father and the Son that the natural mind could never even begin to understand. And yet, darling, our salvation is such a relationship, a reality. But we're going to look at that as the kingdom, the feature of it, the feature of it, the significance of it, that union has to do with the kingdom of God. My. Therefore, I said unto you that he taketh mine, of mine. He taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, well, just maybe verse 10 there, saying the same thing, but Paul is using it. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What would the deep things of God here be, honey? Well, I can tell you right now, He shall take of mine, show it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that He taketh of mine and declared it unto you. Well, it's the same thing here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, I'm telling you, when he starts talking about here, he's saying the natural mind doesn't understand these things. Then there in 1 Corinthians 2, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit, now we're right back to John 16 and verse 14 in what we're saying here, really. For the Spirit searcheth all things. What would that be? The things that are mine, Christ says. That which I am, Christ says. All that is me, Christ says. Because that's what He searches. That's what He, the Spirit of God, is come. That is His ministry in the kingdom to reveal and to glorify me. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, hon. In these two little, well, this two little verses here, or three or four. But in John 16, 14 and 15, here it is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 through 14, it's the same thing. Jesus saying it in one place, Paul saying it in another. The exact same thing, and it broadens what is being said here. For the Spirit searcheth all things. All things doesn't mean a bunch of things. It means the fullness that Christ Himself is. That's what it means. Yea, the deep things of God. Well, that's because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged or discerned. What is it that you and I then, in considering the kingdom of God, what is it that we can come to comprehend? Only that which the Spirit reveals. Only that which the Spirit declares or shows. And in so doing, He is doing what? He is taking that which is Christ and showing it unto us. Oh my. Well, I've taken almost too much time reading here, but this needs to be read. Now we need to prepare our way just a little bit for real hard of what I want us to look at, reminding ourselves of the Jewish background and expectation as to the kingdom of God. What were the Jews looking for with regard to the kingdom of God? And dear friend, what are you looking for? What is the church world that has become very religious? What is Christianity as a religion began to look for as the kingdom of God. Well, how was it with Jews? Now let's look. What is the Jewish background and their expectation as to the kingdom of God? It was not strange language to those to whom Christ spoke during his time on this earth. This about the kingdom of God. They had been looking and waiting for the coming of that kingdom for many centuries. Their prophets had said much about it. They were in expectation of the coming Messiah to set up this kingdom of God. They believed that God was the ruler of this universe. They believed that Israel was the nation in which he would set up his kingdom on earth. And they were waiting for him to do it. Now listen to this. There's a great deal of comparison here. They were at the very time of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we are told, in expectation of this one, this Messiah's coming, their ideas of the kingdom were entirely secular, entirely temporal, with all the personal and physical and earthly advantages that they would create for themselves. Now that's the kingdom they were waiting on and thought certainly was coming. But we know that that did not happen in the way in which they expected, do we not? Christ did come. But what I have just read and what they believed is not the kingdom that was coming. It wasn't to be that temporal coming, temporal kingdom. And yet at the very time Christ came, they were waiting on what the prophets had said, but they were thinking their ideas of the kingdom were entirely secular. Something to be set up on the earth. Now you think about this. I'm serious about this because I'm not jumping on the Jews here of 2,000 years ago. I'm talking to the church and to many Christians in the church and teaching in the secular church with regard to the kingdom. Well, it's true. Their ideas of the kingdom were entirely secular, entirely temporal, containing all the very personal and physical and earthly advantages that that kingdom would create for themselves. And we know it didn't happen that way in which they expected. Christ came. In him, of course, the Messiah came. But in their form of expectation, the kingdom of God did not come. And they missed it. It came, but not in the form of their expectation. Excuse me. They missed it. As they expected as they expected. It was never instituted and set up, and because they missed it, a common phrase came into existence about this kingdom. It is said now. It is said by some in religion and by some in the church world. It is said to be the kingdom in mystery. Well, I really think that what is meant by that phrase, which is not, by the way, a biblical phrase at all, but what is meant there is that it is that the true kingdom is a suspended kingdom in its real nature, and it is something abstract, something rather indefinite. The mentality about the kingdom many times in this present age of Christianity is very much like that. A suspended kingdom. Oh, one that's real, just hadn't come yet. One that when it does come will just do us all kinds of good. I mean, it'll just achieve all kind of good things on earth. Same thing that the Jews were looking for. Christ came and they missed it. They couldn't work it into their religious form. Well, what about the kingdom of God? The mentality about the kingdom in this dispensation is like that, and it has a kind of indefinite thing, and that people, many of them, are still waiting for the kingdom to come. And that gives us our point in this very word. The true meaning of the kingdom. We've already said that the whole ministry of the apostle was the ministry of the Holy Spirit interpreting and showing the meaning of the kingdom of God. And the whole New Testament rests upon a present, definite fact, and that is that the kingdom, dear friends, the kingdom has come and is here. It is in existence. Now, it may not be, and in fact is not, the temporal kingdom that the Jews looked for. It may not be in secular terms, but it is something even more real than that. The kingdom is come in very truth. But in order to appreciate that, it is necessary for us, in the first place, to get a better understanding of the word kingdom. Now, the word kingdom, which the translators have given to the Hebrew word, and that's not a real, that the translators have given a translation to the Hebrew word. And, well, it's not very happy or fortunate. At once, this word conjures up ideas. When you speak of a kingdom, it conjures up the idea of a, listen to me now, of a system, of a realm. But the real word does not, in the first place, mean that at all. The word behind our word in the scripture, kingdom, means sovereignty. Sovereignty. Again, I'm telling you, it's not talking about the idea of a system, a realm. Something that the Jews thought and something that many Christians today have come up thinking that it was yet to come. Well, the actual word translated from kingdom doesn't say that, does not mean that. The word behind our word kingdom means sovereignty. It means rule or reign. And so the kingdom of God really means the reign of God, the rule of God, the sovereignty of God. Now, it is only a realm or a form of government, an economy, as we call it, insofar as it takes its character from God. The kingdom of God is only a realm insofar as it is where God's sovereignty is in operation, where God's rule is active. Now, I need to just stop right here for a second. And I realize, because I spent all week long on this, and I didn't think I'd get it within an hour or even 2 hours, which I won't take here this morning. But friends, the kingdom of God is only a realm insofar as it is where God's sovereignty is in absolute, total, and continually in operation, for His sovereignty is in operation all the time. My. Where God's rule is active. Now, that of course is found in the synonym for the kingdom of God. It's a synonymous word. Kingdom, rule, reign. See? So often spoken of as the kingdom of heaven. There is no essential difference between the two forms of expressions, one being the kingdom of God, the other kingdom of heaven. It just means, on the one hand, the personal rule of God, and on the other hand, the rule or sovereignty of heaven. But it all has to do with our union with Christ, is what I want to show you something. At least bring in one word concerning our union with Christ. Because we've discussed this in, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, what does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? The two are the same. The two are the same. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are done away, passed away, gone, not found. Why? How? Because the new is come. Hon, in Christ, we come face to face with Christ, and in the kingdom of God, we come face to face with the Lord of Lords, with the King of Kings, with Him sitting upon the throne. Now, maybe we ought to add that, thinking at least, to what we understand our union with Christ to be. That our union with Him is a union with sovereignty. He is not king one day and not another. He is not king when I'm in one place and then the next day in another place. No, because wherever I am, any day or any time or in any country, I'm there in Christ. And if I'm there in Christ, I'm there in the kingdom of God. But do we truly understand being in Christ as being in the kingdom of God? And do we understand what it means to be in the kingdom of God? That the word kingdom there gives our relationship with Christ an understanding of sovereignty. The kingdom is now. Let me talk as much about this as I can. In this particular and peculiar form, kingdom of God came in with the exaltation of Jesus Christ to God's right hand. In this particular and peculiar form, when we're talking about kingdom of God, then we have to understand it is kingdom of God because it came in with the exaltation of Jesus Christ to God's own right hand. When did the kingdom come? I'm telling you. So you remember the Lord Jesus said to his disciples one day, there are some of you here, there are some here that stand by who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now that's Mark 9 verse 1. My goodness. I mean that was stated over 2,000 years ago of the Lord, and what is stated of the Lord 2,000 years ago or 2 million years ago is still what is said of the Lord and is good this second as it was a second ago, because 2,000 years could have been a second ago with regard to Christ and with regard to His speaking. You understand what I'm saying? He is the living Word. He's the same Word now that He was then and that He was before then and that He always will be. Well, so what I'm saying here is that there are some who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. And there's no doubt that the kingdom of God spoken of by Jesus there and fulfilled in Christ has already come. The kingdom of God is come with power. You know that the miracles of the Lord Jesus are really, according to the original language, the original translation, said to be the powers of the Lord Jesus. Instead of speaking them as miracles, they should be spoken of as powers, as His as his parables were an expression of his wisdom, so his powers or his miracles were an expression of his power. They were powers in certain specific forms. And it is the same word, the same meaning, the same kingdom of God come in power as a miracle. Now, I'm reading all this and saying this because, hon, what would be the supreme miracle of God with regard to the Lord Jesus? Would it be the Lord healing the sick and the Lord raising up the dead and the Lord feeding the multitude? All of that, miracle after miracle. But what would be the supreme miracle that Jesus talks about when he says, there are those standing here, because he was talking about the kingdom coming and that will not die before the kingdom come. But he says before the kingdom has come in power. And so that related it directly to him. It had to come in power because it had to be him coming in power. It therefore the kingdom was going to come as a great miracle. The miracle. And so the Lord was just gathering it all up. What was the supreme miracle or the supreme power of the coming of the kingdom? What would that have been? The Apostle Paul, under the teaching, of course, and illumination of the Holy Spirit, makes that perfectly clear in one statement. Oh yeah, in Ephesians, this is what Paul says about that. The exceeding greatness of his power. He's talking here about Christ being raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. And he's talking about that same Jesus and that being raised up and seated at the right hand of God. Yes, talking about that. We've read all of that before. But the exceeding greatness of his power, that having to do with the Lord Jesus and having to do with his Father and having to do the greatest miracle God did was raise up his Son out from among the dead. And it is that same exceeding power we're reading right here in Ephesians 1. That same exceeding power is that power that worketh in us. It is the power of his resurrection by which we are raised up, by which we are seated in Christ in the heavens, by which we stand, hon, before he who is upon the throne. The power that worketh in the kingdom of God, oh, hallelujah, is the power of his resurrection working in you now. And it is a sovereign power. And there isn't. It is not about me living instead of him. It is about Christ liveth in me and in you. He is a living power or a living miracle. Our new birth is a living miracle. But because it is linked with the kingdom and with power, the kingdom of God is now, with that power, come in Christ, even as Christ dwells in you. Now, what are we faced with? Because I'm going to have to bring this to a close. What are we faced with in the kingdom of God? Which is gathered together these two things. Which is gathered together these two things. Christ being in you. You and I being in Him. Gathered together. He gathers it together. He gathers it together. When He says, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He gathers up it together when He says, in that day, speaking of the day that we're talking about here, the reality of it in Christ, you will know I'm in my Father. That being a miracle. Yes, because He's talking about raised up out from among the dead, ascending to His Father, so that He may come and receive us unto Himself, that we may be in reality of spirit where He is. So He says, that day you'll know I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And I sat the other day and thought, my Lord and my God, that is the kingdom that is now come. And we live in that kingdom because it is Christ who liveth in us. Now, what am I bringing that to? Sovereignty. Hon, salvation is not our convenience in this and in that. No, no. Salvation is His rule, His reign. It isn't Him trying to rule, it isn't Him trying to reign. He rules. He reigns. Let me read this to you concerning His rule and His reign, because I want you to see that. That's part of our union with Him. That's certainly part of the reality of being in Christ. All right. Here's the richness of this. Why then do we face, by the Spirit, for it is the Spirit who shows us these things, it is the Spirit who opens our eyes. How is it then that our salvation is His sovereignty? And that He has brought us into union with Himself, in that we stand in the One who sits upon the throne. So, the kingdom of God in Christ and I wrote that down having to do with His sovereignty. But now listen to me, why this is real. Why it is so. Now there are many who don't understand it, but it is true. It is true. We dwell in the sovereignty of Him. And all we could go on about that, because it reaches beyond anything that He Himself created. Oh yes, darling. Think about that. Because that One who created all of that, lives in us. That's your salvation. The kingdom of God is not a place we're going. It's where we now are in Christ Jesus. So how about the sovereignty? The kingdom of God in Christ is not just Christ lording over or controlling my life. No, honey. It's much, much more than that. He and He alone is my life. You see, that would make Him smaller. Well, He's sovereign. He's sovereign in my life. Oh, He's a whole lot more than that. He just controls my life. There's a whole lot more to the kingdom of God than that. So I'll say it again. It's not just Christ lording over or controlling my life. No, no. No, the much more of this thing, the absoluteness of His sovereignty is that He and He alone is my life. Hallelujah. I'm without Him, there isn't any life of any kind, period. But certainly no life in us. Oh my. He and He alone is my life. And He says, ye shall know, you shall understand by the Holy Spirit that you are in me, even as I am in you. He, the Spirit of truth, will take all that is me and will show it unto you. He is the newness and the allness of my soul. Who is that? Christ. Christ. And I'll tell you this, hon. He is the exalted Son who liveth in me. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He reigns in me as eternal life. Reigning as eternal life over what? Over death, over hell, over Satan. Hon, He has brought all of that, death, hell, to nothing in His death, and then triumphed over it in His resurrection. And now in the power, the unbelievable, unlimited power of His resurrection, He lives in me. And I'm telling you again, it's not about Him lording over anything. It's about the Lord of glory Himself living in you, living in me, and being unto us life and life and life itself. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So there is at least some little something with regard to the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. But I need to tell you, hon, that, and just say it again, and it is simply that the kingdom of God is not something we run out and set up and make operate. No. In reality, the kingdom of God is Christ in you. And we're not near finished with that realization in these little sharings. But may the Spirit of God begin to open the eyes of our understanding. And I want to say just this in just bringing this to a close today. And I'm not really just, but I want to say this, and yet I have a reason for saying it after I've been talking about the kingdom of God. Sweetheart, many have asked me, you know, if I vote, if I'm concerned about voting here and there and everywhere. Well, I've always been concerned about voting. And up to the age that I was able to vote, I have always voted. So having said that, let me say that I vote because I am a born citizen of the United States of America. I was born and bred here. I was, not only that, I was born and bred in Texas. I am a citizen. I believe from the time that I was in the first grade, coming right on up through the first grade and pledge allegiance to the flag and the morning prayers and on through school, through high school, through college, Bible college. I've always believed that the United States of America is the greatest country upon the face of the planet. That is my heart right now. And when I vote, that is the understanding that directs me. Now, having said that, I want to say this. Sweetheart, the United States of America is not the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sitting here in front of you in the United States of America. I'm here in Arkansas. And I am seated here in the kingdom of God because I am seated here in Christ. If I left this state today, if I got in a plane, and I have done this over my lifetime a bunch of times, I've gone to countries all over the world. Well, all right, fine. I say that for a purpose, because I found that in every one of those places, I was there in Christ. And I've just got through telling you that the kingdom of God is in Christ. And that if you are in Christ, well, then you're a new creation. Yes, darling. And if you are a new creation in Christ, you are in the kingdom of God. I just wanted to say that the United States, as great as she is, as much as I love her, this country is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, all right then. All right. Here in this country, what do I declare and share? The kingdom of God. And in every other country on the face of the earth. Because wherever I am there in Christ. And darling, if you're in Christ, then you are you are also. So we'll come back to our search on the kingdom of God. It is not about politics. It is about an eternal reality that you and that I need to understand by the consistent work of the Holy Spirit. May He lead us, guide us, and direct us therein, so that wherever we are in this great country, we are there in Christ and can share Him in reality of truth. The same way any country on the face of this earth. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Amen. Folks, that's it. Thank you for being with us. Anything we can do for you, you please let us know. Thank you. Thank you for those from whom we have heard recently. Thank you. Thank you for your support in helping us do what we're sitting here. I don't just mean me. I mean we're sitting here today doing, reaching out to the church throughout the Lord's body in this way. Thank you for helping us do that. And may the Lord richly bless you for it. Amen. All right, that's it this morning.